Extra time.
Welcome back to the Extra Time podcast by Football Daily. Hope you're all doing well. Bit of a different episode today. Henry isn't here. Obviously, he's been hosting the show excellently over the last couple of months. He's away, I think, fishing in the English Channel somewhere, probably causing the French authorities some grief. So I have stepped in to host. I think this is my first time hosting a video of any sort in quite some time. So bear with me at home, but it should be a good one because I'm joined by Zach Jalab and Sam Abasaki. How are we doing, boys?
Good, thank you, mate. Not too bad.
What about you, Sam?
All good, man. Yeah. All good. I'm still trying to get over. You know, that since the lockdown's been eased, the weekends have been a bit, you know what I mean? I won't like to say messy because I don't really get drunk like that, you man know. But yeah, it's been a lot.
Just
to
sleepy.
Take in,
so you I'm just a get bit, sleepy I'm at parties, tired. Don't you?
Yeah. Yeah, man. I've changed.
That joke's been running for 4 years.
It has. Ever since.
Yeah, Zach. You know that's not the real me anymore, innit?
Oh, mate. Oh, that's what we're doing, mate. One thing lands and it sticks for the rest of your life.
Exactly, mate. Well, we can bring up the Kepa panic buy argument maybe at some point in this podcast if you'd like, Cobber. But I think maybe not. Let's leave that in 2018. But yeah, similarly, boys, I know what you mean. Weekends are, yeah, becoming a little bit more active and whatnot. Monday's a little bit more weary, for want of a better word. But yeah, let's leave that behind us because got two Chelsea boys on the pod today. Thought, what better way to have them in than to discuss the upcoming season. Obviously, last term ended fantastically, didn't it, for the Blues. Mm. Champions League win, ended up getting top four as well. So expectations, I think, are, you know, understandably high for Thomas Tuchel going into this campaign. Let's kick off, though, with pre-season. Personally, I don't care for pre-season at all. I never watch the pre-season games because I never feel like they really are much of an indication of what's going to happen. But I know you boys were watching the Arsenal-Chelsea game on the weekend. I know, Zach, you were with Chelsea at that Bournemouth game a couple of weeks back. Mm. What have you made of the pre-season so far? Is there anything you're excited about in terms of the players you've seen or the way that the team's been playing?
I'm a big preseason fan, man. Yeah, I always have ever since I was a kid. Like I loved it. I'd stay up till like 2 a.m. watching us play in America or over in another countries wherever. Well, I've always enjoyed preseason and slightly for different reasons. Like normally it's obviously been a couple of months since you've seen your team play, so it's nice to see them get back out there, see the boys. If you've already signed a few new players, like you're buzzing to see them wear the shirt for the first time. And see what they can do in a pre-season game. And also just like from a Chelsea perspective, it's really good because you see like the youngsters get a shot. You see them come into it, especially when it's been a tournament and a lot of the boys are, or in this case, this season, are still kind of coming back from their holidays. And you see guys like Trevor Chalobah this year, Dijon Sterling playing. And over the years, it's been like that for others. Back in the day, it's Josh McEachran. And you've seen it develop like that. I even remember a certain Kevin De Bruyne playing and thinking he was really good during pre-season. Amazed by one goal that he scored where it comes over him and he hits it on the volley, then injures himself. But I remember that goal like it was yesterday. I really did Romelu Lukaku up front. But yeah, I've always enjoyed pre-season. And as you mentioned, like I don't necessarily take it. I don't take too much from it. Like if you lose, say we had lost to Bournemouth or Arsenal. We didn't, but if we had lost, I wouldn't have been like, you know, devastated. I'm pretty. It's there's a lot of players playing in positions that maybe they're not so used to. For instance, I mean, Lewis Baker, who is normally a midfielder, is playing centre back against Bournemouth, and I may add, pretty well.
Did well. Actually, yeah. He did well. Though.
Really impressed me. He was really good on the ball at the back. So yeah, like I kind of take it. I take it with a pinch of salt. Like if you win, you go away saying brilliant. Like that was expected. They've done well. You take positives from it. But if you lose, you kind of see. You just see it as a way to work forward from and that's had both games. I mean, we conceded in both games and we probably should have scored more goals in both games, and I think that's what Thomas Tuchel look at it. And at the end of the day, like it's really just about getting minutes in those legs. Like after you, I think people kind of forget that after a month or so off, you do just like you, lasting 90 minutes actually is quite difficult. So it's just about getting you back to that like professional level of being able to keep up with fitness.
Yeah, for sure. That makes a lot of sense. And obviously, You know, you get to see players who you would otherwise not see play. Lewis Baker is a name that you've seen so much over the years, so many kind of loans away and whatnot. One thing I did notice, obviously, Tammy Abraham was playing in both those games, boys, and we'll get on to kind of potential player sales a bit later in the pod. But I think it probably be good to speak about him now. What are your thoughts? Because he continues to be linked away. Obviously, it seems like around £40 million would be enough to get him out of Chelsea. Are you going to be sad to see him leave? And do you think Chelsea can get that amount of money for him?
Yeah, and I think it definitely will be sad to see Tammy leave if he does. And I think that was more speculation around if we were going in for the Haalands and Lukakus. And obviously, we've seen how that's turned out. And I think Tammy's taken it on board and he's done really well during pre-season. You see he's got a hunger about him during even one of the pre-season games that they were doing. Even though it was a joke, you could tell like he's taking it seriously. Mm. Do you know what I mean? And even in the Arsenal game, he scored the goal. He was looking hungry. He had opportunities to score as well. So I think he's taken it well. I think 40 million is a good price for the amount of goals that he's actually proven that he can score in the Premier League and in the Champions League as well. But if we don't sign those players that we've been linked with, I'm not necessarily upset or like distraught at Tammy being here, because he's proven that he can score a lot of goals in the Premier League. He's proven that he can work in a few different systems, and he's showing the hunger that you need to have to play at Chelsea. So yeah, if he does stay, I think he will be a good rotation to have with Timo Werner and Havertz up top.
Yeah, I kind of agree with Sam, to be quite honest. Like I've kind of said it for a while. I'm a huge Tammy advocate. I love Abraham. Maybe partially because of his personality. I think he's great for the squad. But also, if we're not signing a Haaland or a Lukaku, which seems like they're the only two that Chelsea are willing to kind of go for, then I think like selling Tammy and not getting another striker in is a weird move. You then go into a season where, okay, you maybe then don't send Brozier out on loan. You keep him as the reserve. You've already got rid of Olivier Giroud, but then you're going into a season where your striker is a Timo Werner, who seems to be preferred playing out on the left wing, or a Kai Havertz, whose natural position isn't necessarily a striker. He plays striker fantastically, and maybe he's getting converted into a striker, a false nine, whatever you want to call it. But going into a season without an out-and-out striker who lives, breathes, but played that position for his whole career, or even just to have one on the bench like Tammy, who's experienced, I think it might be too much of a step up for Brozier just yet. Though I wouldn't put it past him. Like,
Brozier's a
really,
baller, though.
Really,
Brozier
really
is
impressed.
He's,
yeah,
he's,
I was very much impressed over his game against Bournemouth. I thought he was really good. He, I think, last I saw, went back down. He didn't make the Arsenal squad. He went back to the development squad, which gives me feelings that he's probably going to be sent back out on loan. And he probably, like, that is the right move. I think a Championship team up front, he can have a really good season, or maybe a Premier League team. I don't know whether that would quite happen. But yeah, like, I personally wouldn't be getting rid of Tammy unless you have a guarantee that Haaland is coming, or Lukaku. Because I think it's a weird, weird thing to kind of do, especially with the season that's coming up. You need a backup or even a starter. And I think Tammy's he's working hard to try and become that guy.
Yeah, fair enough.
And he's had and this is the first team in as well. Sorry, Mikey. Yeah. This is the first season as well. He's had a full pre-season with Tuchel as well. Yeah. A lot of the players that have come in as well, like Pulisic having a full pre-season, like Havertz, like all of these players. Now you're like, Tuchel can see what they are from the beginning, and obviously Tammy didn't go to the Euros, so he's been working with him longer than the other players as well. He started the Bournemouth game, right? So yeah, he started against
yes.
So you can kind of see that Tuchel's given him that opportunity, and Tuchel's actually been quite fair with a lot of the players, saying that, you know, this is your chance to show me what you're about, but also like have fun with it. And I like that about Tuchel. He's not really putting too much pressure, because as you can see in our pre-season sessions, there are a lot of players that have come back from loans and back from players and not playing for Chelsea. So this is a time where they're basically all on trial. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens after pre-season's
done. I mean,
done,
he kind of said that, I'm sure we'll get onto it, but he kind of said that about Ruben Loftus-Cheek. Like, one of his, I think his quote was, about whether his future is at Chelsea or not, and he kind of said it's up to Ruben. Ruben, if he wants to go to another club, go on loan, then he can. But if he wants to stay in this first team and try and fight for a place or fight for a position in this first team, then he can do that as well. And I think that's maybe, I think Tammy obviously is a first team player. He will be in that squad no matter what, whether that's on the bench or not. But that same precedent is set for every player there that might not be already in the first team, that they can kind of work their way towards it.
I think the quote I just saw about Ruben Loftus-Cheek was that Tuchel said he has to give 150% because 100% isn't enough. So there is a bit of pressure on a player like that. And obviously the midfield spots are arguably the hardest to get into as well at Stamford Bridge, considering the kind of form of Conte and Jorginho. But let's get on to these transfers, because it has been a quiet summer, hasn't it, in terms of incomings. Yep. There's no doubt about that. What better?
What do you mean, mate?
Bettinelli, yeah, true. Yeah. Okay.
Huge! Third that choice goalkeeper.
That's
huge,
a big sign.
You're a free.
Big, I lie. Come on. Where's that energy?
Sorry, I forget about that. I forget the excitement that I had for Lee Grant in 2019. So I'll give you that one, boys. But yeah, it's, you know, after last summer, which was so big, especially compared to, like, you know, the quiet business that was being done kind of across Europe last summer in the wake of COVID. You know, you know the club spent £222 million or €222 million, or was it pounds? I can't remember. But in that region, on, you know, a number of top players.
Yeah,
this summer has been significantly more quiet. Potentially, you know, that was to be expected. But yeah, I mean, Lukaku, apparently, you know, two bids were made for him. He doesn't seem particularly enthused about the idea of leaving Inter. Inter obviously want to keep him as well. It looks like, at least at the moment, that Lautaro is seen as more expendable by Inter Milan. Jules Koundé looks a lot more likely, doesn't it? But then that's quite dependent on whether Zuma will be able to be used as part of the deal, and whether, you know, what kind of Sevilla are demanding on top of that. You know, if West Ham, you know, are serious about coming in for Zuma as well, that could obviously derail that. What do you make of this situation, boys? And if there is one signing that you think is kind of vital for the season upcoming, what would that be? I'll start with you, Zach.
I mean, in terms of vital, then I think it needs to be the striker.
Yeah.
I think everywhere else we're fine. Like, I know defensively, like, it is maybe a worry that every the centre-back that played in that Champions League final, Rudiger, Thiago Silva, Aspie and Christensen when he came on, all have 1 year left on their contract, which is worrying, but I assume the club will be able to sort out some deals. I mean, whether Thiago Silva continues playing next season, that's another issue, but I feel like that's something that we'll talk about later on in the season. There's no point thinking about it just now. Every other position, we've got good enough players, world-class players that can play there. My one worry is striker. Like, we haven't had a clinical striker up top since Diego Costa. Mm. If we can sort out that position, like, I put ourselves in a good case to try and win the league, to try and win the Champions League again, to try and get the FA Cup. Like, I still think we'll challenge for them, but you're in a much stronger case if you get Romelu Lukaku or a Haaland in. My worry is I just don't think that's going to happen. Like, the Haaland deal, like, the fact that we've put two bids in for Lukaku, supposedly, according to The Athletic, and they've been rejected, makes me believe that the Haaland deal just isn't going to happen this summer. And it's understandable. Like, £160 million is a lot of money.
Coming out and saying that it's a lot of money, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's not
precisely. Yeah, precisely. I do worry that, like, next season when he's 70 million and a lot more clubs other than Chelsea are going after him, depending on how our season's been, maybe if we've won the Premier League or we've managed to retain the Champions League or something, it's still a lot more attractive. I mean, at the end of the day, it's probably going to come down to who's willing to pay his agent the most around that time. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like, that's my worry. If we don't get him now, then we're just not going to get him ever. And as for Lukaku, like, he just doesn't want to leave. Like, it was when a player has come out and said, "I actually really love it here. Like, I know the manager's gone, but I don't want to leave." It's quite damning. I know that Inter still have to make some sales. I just feel like he'll stay, and I don't think we'll sign a striker personally. But I do agree that I think it's probably the most vital position, because in midfield we are really good. Like, we've got Jorginho, we've got Kante, we've got Ruben Loftus-Cheek there that can play kind of in that DM position. We've got Kovacic, I think I missed. Like, we've got enough players there that we were more than happy to let Billy Gilmore, who plays that position, go out on loan and spend the season at Norwich, so he can come back next season and try and battle for a place then. Again, in the wing position, Jesus Christ, like... if we keep playing this 3-4-3, I think that's 11. If we keep playing this formation where you have two attacking wide men, then you've got six players fighting for that position. If Tammy Abraham's up front, or if Kai Havertz is up front, and we are very, very stocked there. I mean, Mason Mount is basically a guaranteed starter. So then you've got one position to kind of fill with either Ziyech, Callum Hudson-Odoi, if he's not playing wing back, Christian Pulisic, Kai Havertz, Timo Werner. Like, there's so many players there, and the same is with defence. Like, Zuma, as you kind of mentioned, if he doesn't get sold, he's also fighting for a place there. I mean, Reece James can play at the back there, so we're okay in those positions. It's just really the striker position. Though, like, as you mentioned, Jules Koundé, like, I don't sit there and turn my nose up at that. I think that's an unreal deal if we get that through. I can't say I know too much about him, and I know he can be quite versatile. I do maybe worry if he plays in a back four, because he's only 5'10", and the idea of a centre-back playing in the Premier League that isn't above 6 foot does worry me if they're in a back four. But I also kind of see that, as I mentioned earlier about the contract situation, that maybe Chelsea view that, look, we can't keep, you know, we're not going to be able to keep every single one of these centre-backs. So getting in a centre-back to kind of maybe replace Aspilicueta eventually, who's only 22 years old, is a smart decision. But yeah, I don't know. Like, what do you think of it, man?
I agree with you, to be fair. But my biggest thing is, like Mikey said, we spent over 200 million last season. And a lot of those signings, even though we won the Champions League, we got the Champions League football in top four as well, yeah. A lot of them didn't really, like, scrape the surface of what we expected from them. Like, Havertz, yeah, he scored the one of the biggest goals in his Chelsea career so far, but he didn't have the greatest of seasons. Same as Werner, same as Ziyech. And if those players now perform and have had full pre-seasons with Tuchel and go into next season, we saw Havertz's goal against Arsenal. That was clinical. We saw Werner's pass. And yes, it's pre-season, but these are the type of decisions that you want to see these players making, and the confidence you want to see them building during the pre-season. And if they get up to scratch with what we expected from them, then I won't be like that upset if we're not able to make any signings. Like, the one reason I'm kind of happy, not happy that we haven't made any signings, because obviously I want us to make signings, but I'm happy that the players, the caliber of players that we're going for, like, we're going for Haaland, we're going for Lukaku. Like, do you get what I'm saying? These are players that are going to be hard to get out of their clubs regardless. So the fact that we're going for them shows that the level that we're at. And to be fair, I think Lukaku's playing hard to get right now. And that's because, you know, obviously he used to play for Chelsea. I'm sure he knows that there's an unwritten part of that story that needs to be written, and it's gonna happen one way or another. But all I'm saying is, yes, he's enjoying his time at Inter, but all it takes is 1 or 2 months for them to have a bad period, them saying that they need to sell players, and then January back, we're getting Lukaku for less than what we've been quoted recently. Do you know what I mean? So I don't know, man. I think we shouldn't force it. If we're trying to go for these players, and we're showing the caliber of players that we're going for, even Koundé, I haven't seen that much of him, but when I have watched him, I've seen that he's a competent defender, and he will definitely add to our back line. But like Zach said, our squad is quite stacked, and if all of these players, Hudson-Odoi coming back from injury, saying that he feels like he's got an extra yard back, and he's been really good this preseason, I think we'll be good, man. I don't think we need to feel pressured into, you know, making like just signings for the sake of it.
I think a lot of fans, from what I've seen, are frustrated. Like, they keep bringing up 2015, 2017 after we won the leagues, and were like, obviously we then didn't really go out and spend that well. But the difference then, I think, like, our squad was aging in that kind of period, and the guys that you had to replace, your Frank Lampards, your John Terrys, your Essiens. I'm trying to think of the other boys, so okay. your Drogbas, right? Like they had to be replaced. However, after winning the Champions League, like, I look at that squad and I go, wow, that squad is so young. It's ridiculously young. There's no one there that I'm thinking going, oh, we have to replace him this summer. Like, if anything, it's just about trying to add that one signing that does tick, push you forward that extra. And that is the Haaland, that is Lukaku. And as you mentioned, like, it is good that we're going for them. Like, we've realised this, we've gone for them. However, again, as you said, they are such hard deals to get done this summer. And I think that fans need to kind of realize that and think, okay, it's not as bad as it was. It's nowhere near like it was then.
No way.
We've got such a young squad.
No way. The average age of our squad is mad young compared to what it used to be. Like, that's why we were so excited after the Champions League final and winning it, because we've got Mount in the heart of the midfield. We've got Havertz up top, Werner out wide. We've got Reece James and Chilwell at fullback. This is a young squad. Yeah, we've got a core of players that are aging, and like you said, they're on their last year of the contracts. But at the same time, we know the club are going to sort it out. We're not going to just leave them to all our whole defence, our whole set of X to just leave on a free next season. So we know that's going to get sorted. But the only position that we need, and that's if we have the Werner that we had last season. But if we get the Werner that we expected from RB Leipzig and the Havertz from the play that we saw in the Bundesliga, then I think we'll be fine, honestly.
Mm. Yeah, like, let's put it this way. Like, I can almost guarantee 95% that our top goal scorer of the season will not be Jorginho on 7 goals.
You can't have that again.
That's what it was last season. Like, I think we scored something like 53 goals in the league and the top scorer was Jorginho on 7. Like, next year, like, someone like will be on double figures, whether that's Kai, whether that's Timo, whether that's Tammy. God, someone better be on double figures.
Well, it's a funny one, isn't it? Because the season before was very much typified by, you know, some very exciting football initially under Frank Lampard, but a very leaky defence. And then last season, you know, Thomas Tuchel really shored it up, didn't he? And made the side a lot more watertight. But yeah, there wasn't that out and out number nine who was scoring week in, week out. And I feel like Chelsea fans and general Premier League fans kind of saw that in Tammy Abraham in that 2019-20 season initially, didn't we? His progress has been, you know, somewhat stunted by not making the team under Tuchel and like you say, I think the sale of Giroud opens up a possibility for him coming off the bench, doesn't it? But I guess we'll see, what happens with that situation. As for the Koundé situation, personally, I think it would be a great move for Chelsea. I think in terms of emerging ball-playing centre-backs in Europe, he's right up there. And I think he would, suit Thomas Tuchel's style of play very well. But I think that leads us on to the kind of other big story this summer for Chelsea, which is the players who have left. And, you know, there's obviously Koundé would be a great signing, but would Chelsea even need to make that signing were it not for selling Fikayo Tomori, and obviously Mark Guehi has also gone to Crystal Palace as well, for decent prices, I think, for players who, when in Guehi's place, has almost no Premier League experience. In Tomori's case, wasn't really playing at all last season under Lampard, was he? I don't know what your boys' thoughts on it, because I feel like as Chelsea fans, you will always be, you know, emotionally attached to these kind of players who've come through the academy, who've been with the club for years on end. And you've seen them develop into very good players. But from a kind of financial point of view, from a kind of, you know, in years to come point of view, do you think that it was smart to especially with Mark Guehi, because it was, you know, it was very much the club's decision to sell him this summer, whereas Tomori, I feel like, could have, you know, maybe a bit of a mistake before Tuchel came in. What are your thoughts on those two transfers in particular? And we can get onto the other academy players who have left as well. But what are your initial thoughts on the Guehi sale?
Sam, yeah, you go, mate.
It's sad to obviously see those type of players leave. Yeah. Like, Mark was quality last season. Tomori, his situation was quite unfortunate, because he had his period under Lampard where he was getting games, and then suddenly he didn't. And then he went out on loan and done really well. And then that transition from when we were changing managers to him, the release clause that was in his contract, and him not really having a conversation with Tuchel about his future at Chelsea, all of those things played a part in. I feel like it played a part in him going to Milan. But it's one of them things where, as a Chelsea fan, you kind of get used to seeing a lot of these quality players come through the ranks, and unfortunately some of them just don't make it into the first team, but it doesn't mean that they might not have a place coming back to Chelsea, or just end up being quality players elsewhere. We've seen, it's unfortunate, you know, we've seen the KDBs, you know, the Salahs that have come and been, they came to Chelsea quite young. And yeah, I think because we were so hell-bent on getting Haaland and getting Lukaku and needing the funds to like facilitate those contracts, I think the club were just in that position where, if you look at our centre-backs specifically, before these two, those centre-backs, we had five. Aspilicueta, Rudiger, Thiago Silva, Reece James can go in there. We have, who else is there? Even Ampadu still out on loan, Christensen, Zuma, like so many centre-backs, like there's always going to be a few that don't make it. And because those players were on the fringes of being able to actually play in the Premier League week in, week out, play in Serie A week in, week out, I think it was just unfortunate that they weren't able to get the opportunity. But it's one of those ones where it happens when you've got so many quality players in a specific position. And yeah, man, it's sad to see them go, but yeah. I get why they went, and what for the prices that they went for as well.
It's also like I think people forget like the we had, when Mason Mount, Reece James, Tammy, etc., Tomori all came through. It was like a perfect mix. Mm. You know, Frank Lampard had just come in. We were on a transfer. And we couldn't buy any players. The squad needed changing. The guys had just kind of finished their loan move. They're ready for Premier League football. It was like the perfect mix of everything happening. And God, like, was it what, 5-6 players ended up coming through in the end? And
I think that's, he gave like, eight players their debut or something.
Precisely. That's not a normal thing to happen. Like, in a season, bringing through eight players in a team that is challenging for Champions League football is not a normal thing that happens. Like, God, I think last time maybe United with the 90s, Beckham and that, maybe Wenger 1 year. But it's not normal. But like, the way I've always viewed academies is like, it's good to see. It's good to try and see an academy player in your first team every year. Like, whether that is starting, whether that is on the bench, whatever it is, that's how I kind of view success in academy. Especially when you are of the standard of a Chelsea, of a City, of a United, etc. Like, you want that to happen to show that there is still pathways going through. Mm. The difficulty is not everyone can do that. Not everyone is the level of a Premier League winning side. Like, that's just not possible. And what we've seen at Chelsea is Chelsea have some fantastic young players, like your Lewis Bates, your Tino Livramento, who are now looking at the squad and going, cool, look, there is a pathway there. However, the guy blocking my pathway is Reece James, who's only 22 years old.
My age.
And he's 2 years older than me, and he's already playing for England. Like, what I need to do now is go out and go and get football and go and play. And he obviously doesn't want to get into the loan cycle that Mark Gehi was on, that like Mason Mount had done, because sometimes it's not easy to just come back and not know what you're going to do and have to go on loan again and keep travelling, stuff like that. Sometimes players just want a place where they can stay for a couple of years and work at and then move on after that. Like, for instance, the Tino Livramento deal that seems to be happening, that he's going to Southampton for 5 million, which is unreal for a guy, again, that's never played a Premier League minute for Chelsea. Yeah. And Chelsea have been smart in putting a buyback clause for £25 million, because if he does bang, then they can go get him back, and if they need to sell him on, they can do that, or if they can put him into the first team squad, they can do that. The same with Mark Gehi. It's not a buyback clause, but it's the first option of refusal, which again is smart. And it kind of, and all these guys as well, they're not leaving Chelsea in bad terms. Like, they're not leaving not liking the club, they're leaving respecting it. I think they're happy as well that Chelsea have kind of agreed to let them do this. They could have been a bit more difficult, kept them until their contract ran out, but they've been happy with this kind of stuff. So I think it's kind of all gone quite nicely. Like, yes, there are a lot of fans out there who want to see these guys all make the first team, but like, that's just not possible. Chelsea's young academy is so good from like at every year stage. Like, we just won a tournament with the under 18s when it was with I think United or City were in it as well, and like I think Wolves too, to be fair. like every year these guys are winning trophies, and so you're constantly having a revolving, you know, every year of new guys that are coming through that maybe trying to get to the first team or trying to go onto a loan move and maybe are thinking about their futures. And out of 26 of these players, realistically one, maybe two, is going to get into that Chelsea first team. We've said this, and look, you've got to remember, Tino Andrin is still playing for Chelsea. Brozier signed a 5-year contract. Like, we're keeping a decent amount of these guys that they believe, okay, they do want to go on loan, they do want to try and fight for their place here, and that's fair enough. And for the guys that do want to leave, like your Lewis Bate to Leeds, I think that's also fair enough. So yeah, it's an awkward situation, that's for sure, but that's just part and parcel of like the academy now reaching its point where they want to get into the first team. Because for 4 or 5 years we've always been saying, oh, Chelsea have got a good academy, they're winning all these youth competitions. But it's only just caught up to us where these guys are now needing to get into the first team. And Tammy Abraham has, and Tamori did, and Mason Mount has, because they were that first generation of those really, really good academy players. Like, obviously, we had some decent ones in Josh McEachran and these guys, but these were the truly elite level. And sadly, you've only got a squad of 26 people, and you can't change that squad every year of just filling it with academy products. And that's part and parcel of what the Chelsea Academy is.
For sure. I mean, I think also the fact that you had Lampard and Morris and...
Joe Edwards
is still there for sure. But I think having those coaches who'd worked with them, and especially, you know, Jody Morris's case, worked with them for a number of years, is always going to be a big thing. I think you're totally right. I think having, what, 3 or 4 players in and around the first team who've come from the academy is a massive success in itself. And I guess it's just, you know, the excitement that was, you know, built up in those Lampard years, I guess, kind of leads people to think, oh, we could actually have a team of, you know, full-on Chelsea Academy stars. I guess from an outside perspective, I just think perhaps from a business standpoint, selling Guehi and Tomori only to bring in a, you know, a player who may well be at a better stage of development, but certainly, you know, Guehi and Tomori are of a very high standard. Perhaps seems like, I don't know, maybe a little bit of a waste of time. You know, that's probably my perspective on it. But equally, those, you know, there are contract, obviously with Guehi, there was a contract situation that needed to be sorted out, wasn't there? With Tomori, it was, you know, kind of in a difficult period for the club in general, and he hadn't had any game time. Let's move on though to players who definitely could also be on the way out this summer, kind of outside of the academy. Because we've got, you know, players like Emerson, who was supposed to be, or was kind of touted for being used in the Koundé negotiations. Sevilla didn't want him. You've got a player like Ross Barkley, who's got 2 years left on his contract, didn't have, in the end, the best time at Aston Villa on loan last term. Obviously, Loftus-Cheek we've spoken about. Zappa Costa's got 1 year left. Out of these players, who can you see actually leaving the club this summer? I'll come to you, Sam.
It's a tough one, man. Like, it's a tough one. I don't see Zappa Costa and Emerson being at Chelsea starting the season, but at the same time, it's more of how much Chelsea want to value them on this market and what teams will come in for them. Like you said, Sevilla already refused that as part of that negotiation, and I think there was talks with Inter Milan, or was it? It was one of the Italian clubs they were talking.
I think Inter. Emerson. I think you are right. I think it was Inter.
Yeah, and I don't think that they kind of liked the price that Chelsea was giving them. So I think that those contracts are going to be, those guys are going to be harder to move on this market. But I think Ross Barkley and Loftus-Cheek specifically, this is like their next year is big for both of them, just because at Chelsea right now, you've kind of seen, like Zach said, all of these youngsters coming through the ranks. And even with Billy Gilmore going out on loan to Norwich, that's already been, he's already spoke to Tuchel about that. Like, so Tuchel knows, okay, you're going Norwich to get more minutes. We've trusted you with this amount of minutes last season, and we know that you're going to be in the fold next season. With Loftus-Cheek and Barkley, I'm not sure how much Tuchel watched them last year, so he's probably only seen them in this pre-season. And the pre-season games, obviously, they haven't played like 2 full 90s, but in them, they haven't really had standout performances to say, okay, cool, I definitely want you in and around the squad. Even players like Drinkwater, I think he had a decent game against Bournemouth. Had a few moments against Arsenal as well. So there's so many midfielders. Yeah, he's still in the team. He's still there. He's still still fighting, still working. He's getting involved in the training, bants and stuff like that. So there's a lot of midfielders right now at Chelsea. Yeah. And I think it's going to be hard for them to like break in, because there's already, like, in every position at Chelsea, there's a hierarchy, I believe, of who's going to start, who's trusted for this type of game. And I just don't see any of them in that immediate ladder right now. And they kind of have to, like Tuchel said in one of these interviews, they're going to have to work to get into that position. And if they don't, I'd see Barkley, because he's got 2 years left, he probably could leave on a permanent, but he was previously at Aston Villa. They don't want him anymore. They've made a few signings. So where would he go next? Like, I genuinely don't know what club could facilitate a midfielder like Barkley. Loftus-Cheek still got 3 years left on his contract, so that might be a lot for a team to consider, or depending on how much Chelsea value him. But at the same time, because he's so young, I still think he can have a role in this Chelsea squad, but it's just dependent on him, like Tuchel said, how much he wants to really like stake a claim in this squad. Because the way we play now, I don't think it really facilitates a player like Loftus-Cheek, if that makes sense. Because the type of role that he plays in, I feel like Mount plays it with a high intensity, and obviously coming back into pre-season, he's going to get used to it and stuff like that. But it just depends on if Tuchel wants to give him the trust and say, okay, cool, I want you to be in this squad, and I want to see how you deal with this amount of pressure. If Mount's not playing this game, maybe you can play here. Because I don't really see him playing in any other position in the front three, or displacing Jorginho or Kante or Kovacic. So yeah, man, it's going to be hard for them. But I definitely see Emerson and Zaba Costa not in the squad, and maybe Barkley getting sold and Loftus-Cheek in the squad or on loan again in the Premier League.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have to make their decisions quick, because what the Premier League's what next week? And obviously, I don't know when they have to submit their 26-man squad by. But once that's submitted, then the guys that aren't in it are going to have to go on loan or get sold. And I kind of agree with Sam. I don't think Barkley's going to be one of those guys that makes it in. He may do. You never know. He might surprise me. But he's... like, these guys are going to have to go in some way. Like, Chelsea can't afford to be having the situation they had with Drinkwater for a period of time, or for Van Ginkel for a period of time, where they're just kind of doing nothing. They turn up to training, they train.
You just see them in pictures on the gram and that.
And yeah, like, to be fair, like, I don't argue. Like, for Danny Drinkwater and for Ruben Loftus-Cheek, like, I actually don't know how much Danny Drinkwater is on. But for instance, like, with Ruben Loftus-Cheek, I think it might be the same, but like, they're on 100k a week from what I think I've read. And I don't blame them for this. Like, if a club goes to me, hey, we'll buy you, but we only want to give you 60 grand, like, a football career is short. Like, yeah, you do sit there and you go, no, I'd rather stay here for the rest of my contract and earn this money for as long as I can, and then deal with whatever after that, or go on loan and pay, you know, that club pays me 50% of it, Chelsea pay me the rest of the 50%, and work from there. Like, they've got to be a bit selfish, like, as much as they may not help out Chelsea, they've got to look out for themselves, and I don't blame them at all for doing that. And so, yeah, like, I don't, like, for instance, Malang Sarr is a guy who we bought and actually quite impressed me against Bournemouth. I thought he was pretty...
He looked decent. He looked
like, and he is relatively young. Like, I'm just trying to see... 22. Like, I don't think that's awful. We left-footed as well. Like, he was a guy that Chelsea have kind of bought and have been like, let's see what happens. He went on loan to Porto last year. Didn't actually play that much in the end. Was out of the squad at times. But like, he's another interesting one. Like, Ethan Ampadu.
We've even still got Bakayoko. We've got Bearman.
Bakayoko. Yeah, like, Chelsea have a...
He's almost starting to leave Bakayoko, I think, isn't he?
Yeah. I mean, but again, it wouldn't surprise me if it's another loan. Like, these guys... Yeah. Like, because that's the half thing as well. Like, from... It seems that Chelsea want a good fee for these players. And clubs are going, hey, these are your dead wood. They've not played for you in this long. You need to sell them. We're offering you this amount. Either take this or not. Whereas Chelsea seem to be a little bit more stricter on wanting a certain fee for them. But yeah, like, I don't know. It's tough. But the decision does have to be made quite soon. And I'm sure once everyone's back from pre-season, we'll probably start to see that. Probably start to see a lot of tweets go out saying good luck to these boys, good luck to these guys pretty soon.
Yeah, I think it's probably a sign of kind of Chelsea's financial power compared with a lot of the rest of Europe, isn't it? Especially in post COVID market.
Yeah.
It's probably a little bit tougher to offload players for the kind of price that you want. So that leads us on. Let's get to the fun part of the episode. I want to know, boys. First of all, I want to get from each of you a player to watch this season. I want to know what you think are the expectations on Tuchel this season, because I'm quite interested. I feel like the back end, that last week of the last season, changes that a lot for me. And ultimately, your predictions, where you see Chelsea ending up in the Premier League, how you see them defending that Champions League crown. I want to start with you, Oba. Which Chelsea player are you most excited about seeing this season?
This is quite easy, to be honest, but Havertz is just... I'm a big fan of Havertz in it. Like, it was hard to... Not hard to defend him, because obviously football's not just about stats, but the position that he was playing in. If you're saying, oh, Havertz is this and Havertz, he's so good, they'll be like, oh, why is he not scoring here? Why is he not scoring there? He only scored 4 goals and recorded 3 assists in over 1,500 minutes last season. So I get that side of it, yeah? But the quality that he has and the quality that he showed when he was at the Euros and even coming back his first game against Arsenal, the right-footed strike, he's just ice cold. Like, the guy doesn't... He doesn't even look like he is bothered when he scores or when he assists. He's like, nah, just let's go again. You know that type of vibe? Like, when he scores, not really smiling, just runs, puts his hand up, and then, yeah, we go again. And that type of energy, I think, is going to be so good for Chelsea next season. Obviously, he scored one of the most important goals last year in the Champions League final. And that composure and the way he's trying to link up with Timo, they did a few times at the Euros as well. And I think if Germany had gone a bit further, he probably would have been one of their standout performers because he was genuinely playing quality in every game that he was playing. So yeah, next season I think is going to be huge for him. Depending on if we do get a striker, it's going to be interesting to see where Tuchel plays him. But if he's playing in that false nine or even playing on the left or the right, I think he's going to have an amazing season. But also, just a little shout out to my guy Hudson-Odoi. I think he's back, and I'm saying that with confidence. Yeah, obviously we know that we've got a lot of options out wide that Zach said earlier, but I think now he's got that extra yard back. He's got confidence of having a full preseason, injury-free preseason as well. Yeah. I think next season he can be on madness. But yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, fair enough. It's interesting about what you said about Kai Havertz, because I think he was always seen as quite kind of a fairly quiet, fairly kind of reserved player, even when he was coming through in Germany. But always with that kind of ice cold determination. And yeah, I think he's a little bit kind of reminds me a little bit of maybe of kind of KDB when he was younger. That kind of just holds himself to very, very high standards. And a family man, did you say?
He's a family man who loves his donkeys. He loves his donkeys. Honestly, it's mad.
Has he shown you his donkeys?
He talks about them all the time. Honestly, he absolutely loves them to bits. Yeah, like he was sad that he couldn't bring it over to England. He might have brought him over now. I don't know about that,
mate, with post Brexit and everything. Pretty strict from what I've heard.
He's a huge fan of his donkeys, and yeah, he's ice cold. I kind of agree with Sam. Like, I've got an outside shout. I think he might be player of the season this year.
What, for Chelsea or the Premier League?
Premier League.
Wow. Yeah, okay.
I think Premier League. Ooh. I think he's going to have. Absolutely come alive. I think people forget last year how tough it was. Obviously, moving through a pandemic isn't easy. The fee that obviously is on the back of your mind, then getting COVID, then finding out you've got long COVID effects, all this kind of stuff. Not necessarily playing in the position you've been playing in for the past 4 or 5 years. And then, as you said, kind of when Tuchel took over near the end of that season, he really started to get into it. We saw, as Oba said, really good at the Euros. And I think as an outside shout, like, I think half the reason why maybe Chelsea aren't so keen to spend that money on a Haaland just yet is because it seems like Kai's going to be playing that position. It seems that Kai's going to be playing up front, and he'll be taking it in his stride. And there were times last year, where I think back to the Crystal Palace game, he should have had a hat-trick. There was a chance where I think he flicks it over the defender, and he's got that about him. Like, he's a skillful player. He's unexpectedly quick for a guy that's like 6'2", decent in the air as well. Like, he's got everything to his game to be a striker or a centre forward, I think, actually, is probably a better way to say it. Because he's also great on the ball, can pass really well, links up with Mason Mount fantastically. Like, I remember the last summer we were thinking, well, now that Kai Havertz has joined, what's Mason Mount going to do? Well, I mean, they both complement each other perfectly. That goal, I put a tweet out yesterday.
I saw that.
Was it Everton? I can't remember what team Fulham. It was. Fulham, yeah, where Mason Mount brings it down perfectly, Kai makes a run and slots it home. So yeah, there's a shout for him for me, a low shout to feel like he's going to be maybe player of the season, and I reckon I'll keep backing it. The other guy that I think is definitely worth, obviously, to keep your eye on is Timo Werner. I think if you ask him on his season last year, he'll say he was disappointed. But this is also a guy in his first year in the Premier League, or his first team, obviously, in the Premier League and with Chelsea, who got 20-plus goal involvements. Like, that's not a bad first year. I know, obviously, he was bought to be a goal scorer and you know, maybe to try and reach the upper ends of the like 16, 17 mark in the Premier League. But he also did okay in terms of getting assists and being creative for us.
And like, he's always there. He's always there.
And there were some misses last year where you just go, wow, it is not your year this year. Like, I think back to the Leeds one where it go, like, he's on the line. It's just like, that's not going to happen. Like, that really isn't going to continue to happen. And as you say, like, against Arsenal pre-season, he looked lively. His pace is so quick and so good for us. So I think he'll have a good year. I'm not going to say he's going to go score 20-plus goals in the league, but I think he'll have a solid year, especially, obviously, I think he's going to be played more on that left wing or maybe second striker or two up top with Kai. And the other guy who you have to say to watch is Mason Mount. Like, this guy continues to get better and better. And last year, quite frankly, he was stupidly good. Ridiculously good at times. And I think probably deserved a place in the team of the season. Because I don't think he did get in the end. And if he continues on his the same trajectory as he had in his third year in the Premier League, then this is a guy that is going to be unreal. Maybe didn't have as good of a year as he would have liked, but another year older, like, more experienced in this league, another year playing with these kind of guys in the same formation, works so hard for this team, like, plays so many games, like, it's ridiculous how fit he is as well. And I think if he can add goal scoring to his game this year, then he's going to be ridiculous. Like, last year, obviously, I don't know exactly how many, but it wasn't that many in the league. If he can try and get to maybe 10 goals this year or just over, would be a fantastic season for him, and something that I kind of expect him to do now. Like, it really doesn't surprise me anymore when he just gets better and better and better. But yeah, those are probably my three. And then I think, what was it? You said, what do I expect from Tuchel this year?
We're almost out of time, but what do you expect from Tuchel, and what do you think is going to happen? I mean, not necessarily what you expect from Tuchel, but what do you think the expectations are on him, considering the success at the end of last season?
He's going to have to challenge in the league. He has to. Like, last year, Chelsea didn't challenge in the league in the end. After, obviously, when Lampard won that bad run, it just didn't happen after that. He's not expected to win it, especially if City go and buy Harry Kane and Jack Grealish. Like, you can't be expected to win it then. But you are expected to kind of make sure you're fighting for that second place or keeping hot on
keep them on their toes, man.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there weren't many games when Tuchel was in charge of the Premier in the Premier League last year where I thought Chelsea were the worst team. And I kind of expect them to continue that, and obviously another pre-season under his belt. I kind of expect the players to and that formation to work even better than it did last year. I don't think he's expected to win the league, but he's expected to be fighting for, like, we have to be comfortably confirming Champions League before, like, the last two games of the season. Like, last year when it came down to luckily Spurs beating Leicester, like, that cannot be happening this year at all. And obviously in the Champions League, like, I want to be saying trying to get to the semis again. We need to be winning a trophy this year, whether that's the FA Cup, the league, or the Champions League. We have to be winning one of them for sure. And I think I comfortably feel like Whereas with other managers, with Chelsea, there's always been that thing in the back of my head where I'm like, oh God, this could go wrong. And again, touch wood, I feel like I'm jinxing it. But like with Tuchel, I don't feel like there's that period that's going to go wrong or like bad enough where like he's going to be sacked after 4 or 5 bad games. I always feel like he's kind of like Carlo Ancelotti when he was a Chelsea manager, always pretty good. Got sacked for not winning the Champions League final, if you get what I mean. So I think yeah, he'll be okay. He'll be okay.
Yeah, I think I certainly think that the Champions League win and qualifying for the Champions League has certainly bought him a lot more kind of comfortable time, because I think with end of last season, people were starting to think, well, if he doesn't do that, then you know, come November, December, if there's a bit of poor form, then you know, you could have a fairly sticky situation for him. Very quickly, Sam, because I'm about to run out of time on my camera. Similarly to Zach, I mean, I think Zach probably summed up the expectations on Tuchel quite well. But what do you, what do you see Chelsea achieving this season?
Same as what Zach said. To be fair, like I will challenging for the top spot in the Premier League, Champions League. Like the Champions League, I think people don't really appreciate how well we actually did last year in it, like, and how good our team was all round. So if we can kind of replicate that form and go into the Champions League, even with the same team, if we don't make no signings, I'll still be confident for us to get out the group stages, get into the latter stages of the tournament. FA Cup, obviously, we saw what happened against Leicester. Believe that we can either win the FA Cup or the Carabao. But yeah, man, a trophy and comfortably up there in the Premier League and the Champions League. I want to see us like really pushing City this season.
Yeah. Nice. So out of the title race by March in an FA Cup? Sounds about right.
No way. Right, we're going to be there. Mate. We're going to be there when the sun's gleaming and we're going to be saying we need two points to win the league. Yeah.
Here we go. Love it. Love the ambition, boys. Wouldn't expect any less of you. I agree. I think it could be a very exciting season for Chelsea. I'm really looking forward to seeing how Thomas Tuchel does over the course of the campaign. And I expect there will at least be one or two signings through the door by the end of August. But boys, thanks so much for coming on. And before we leave, where can the viewers and the listeners catch you more often?
On the Football Daily Snapchat, me and Sam are on there quite a bit. We bring you guys daily stories, talking about all things in football, from transfers to crazy gossip. Go over there, type in Football Daily, and you can search us on that.
Lovely. Although, have you got anything you want to push to at all?
Our personal accounts, you know, you can see them. You know, if you want to talk ball, or if you want to tell Zach that he's doing amazing at Chelsea, just message him, tell him that you love him and that. And
all
say
from
that
doing
Sam...
shit. All from doing bad. Why not?
But yeah, now check us out on our socials and whatever. Yeah,
yeah.
And we'll speak.
Lovely. Thanks for watching and listen, everybody. If you are watching, subscribe to the podcast channel if you haven't done so already. If you're listening, give us a nice little review on whatever app you're listening on.
5-star now.
And thanks for watching, everyone. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you very soon.